Magnesium plays a critical role in vital bodily functions, including energy production, heart health, immunity, and more restful sleep. Magnesium is ubiquitous in metabolic pathways that affect virtually all organ systems. But magnesium deficiency or insufficiency is one of the most pervasive nutritional problems afflicting the majority of Americans. Ultra-processed foods, many common medications, stress, and medical conditions like diabetes all deplete magnesium. So I'm excited to tell you about MagSRT from Jigsaw Health. MagSRT has rightfully earned a reputation as the most popular, most bioavailable, and best-tolerated magnesium brands in the world. The developers of MagSRT have solved a problem that deters many from getting adequate intake of elemental magnesium. Their unique formulation is gentle on the stomach and doesn't produce unwanted GI effects. For more information and to order MagSRT, just go to JigsawHealth.com. That's JigsawHealth.com. Use coupon code HOFFMAN10 for $10 off your order. That's JigsawHealth.com and use code HOFFMAN10 for MagSRT, time-released magnesium. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's subject is near and dear to me because we're going to talk about clean and green living. In fact, we're going to talk to the host of a podcast entitled Clean and Green Living. Her name is Reagan Nelson. Reagan is a dedicated health educator and advocate and the host of the Clean and Green Living podcast. She has combined her passion for cleaner living with a master's degree in physiology and 2 decades of working in innovation and consumer insights to be a guide to safer, healthier, and more sustainable life. And she is going to help us obtain knowledge and resources to help you reduce your exposure to toxic chemicals through easy and affordable lifestyle fixes. Reagan has also played an influential role in shaping health protective legislation. One of her successes, and we'll talk about it during the podcast, is her contribution to passage of the Modernization of Cosmetics Act in 2022, which is the first piece of federal legislation to be passed over the industry since 1938. It's high time, right? So we're going to talk about her continuing efforts on Capitol Hill as well and advocacy. So, without further ado, here's Reagan Nelson. Thanks very much for joining us, Reagan.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, great. Well, so tell us a little bit about your evolution as an advocate for clean and green living, because at one point you were like the rest of us, unwashed masses, maybe less conscious of the perils of our toxic environment. So describe your evolution.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, I have a master's degree in exercise physiology. So health and wellness was part of my academic studies. I was always really focused on diet and exercise being these key components of health. And never once in my education did anyone talk about endocrine disrupting chemicals or PFAS. I mean, none of these topics ever crossed my path in my education. And it wasn't until really about 10 years ago, through a company called Beauty Counter, that makes safer products and educates and advocates for more cosmetic reform, crossed my path that I started thinking about these things. And it really resonated with me. Obviously, given my background in physiology, I understand that our skin is our largest organ and that, you know, what we put in our mouth is as important as what we put on our bodies, because everything absorbs in, well, not everything, but many of the things will absorb into our skin. And I started my journey, probably like everyone listening, really one thing at a time. Personal care, I think, was my entree into this world. I started paying attention to my lotion and sunscreen and the makeup that I was wearing and the ingredients like parabens and sodium lauryl sulfate and things like that. And just started making small changes. And it really snowballed over time over the last 10 years. And then I started cleaning up other areas of my life, like my cleaning products and focusing on eating organic as much as possible. And my dishwasher soap and detergent, and then, you know, then it just, the funnel gets bigger and bigger, the air quality. Right. And, you know, once you know these things, you can't unknow them. And so then it becomes not a habit, but it has really become a lifestyle.
Indeed. Well, one of the ways to talk about this is perhaps you can give us a house tour, you know, take us from room to room, because your remit is not just about things that we put on our skin or that we gargle with or brush our teeth with or shampoo our hair with. It's also about the chemicals that lurk in some of the products that we use. So perhaps, you know, let's start with... you know, obvious place to start is the kitchen. So let's talk about some of the products that we use in the kitchen, the cleanup products and so on, because there are hazards that lurk there and there are preferable alternatives.
For sure. I'm actually getting ready to do an episode on 5 safer and more sustainable swaps for your kitchen for my own podcast, because it is such a big area of exposure. I mean, for me, the number one thing that I think I probably started with was single-use plastics. So Ziploc bags and Saran wrap, aluminum foil, obviously not a plastic, but a single-use product. And I swapped those out for using glass containers and, or even swapping out my glass or my plastic Tupperware. You know, so for so many years, we all had our plastic Tupperware. We would take it. Yep. I mean, I probably put it in the microwave at some point, which we now know that heating plastics like that increases the amount of leaching of those chemicals like the phthalates and bisphenols into our food. So that was probably the biggest swap that I made to start. You know, I use silicone bags. I haven't bought a Ziploc bag in probably 5 or 6 years. I use silicone as a safer, more sustainable and, you know, easy replacement. Also, cutting boards are a really great place to start. Most people use plastic cutting boards. Every time you cut and you score that plastic, not only are you, you know, exposing those microplastics, which again could have phthalates or bisphenols, which we know can be harmful to our health. And then it's also getting into your water when you wash those plastics. So swapping to wood is always a great place. The cleaners that we use in our kitchen, so to clean our countertops, or clean our sink, making sure that, again, those are made from safer ingredients. And when I started this journey 10 years ago, there were so few options when it came to household cleaners and dish soaps and you know, dishwasher detergent. And now we're really fortunate that people are becoming more aware of this issue. And so it is easier to find products for like your dishwasher or your dish soap that have safer ingredients. You can even get them at Target or Walmart or, you know, any of your local stores. Dr. Bronner's is one of my favorites. I actually interviewed David Bronner, who's, I think, if I remember correctly, a 4th generation soap maker. And he, you know, he makes a great product. Many people are familiar with it. I think of the blue Castile peppermints or peppermint soap. And there's all these words on it, which was his grandfather's manifesto. And that's formulated with safer ingredients, easy to get at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or, you know, natural grocers, really readily accessible. So that was another big area I swapped. And, you know, those are the ones that come to mind most quickly, because I think those are things that everyone uses. Oh, and then of course, probably the really the most important, because they do contain forever chemicals. And before we started recording, we were talking about PFAS chemicals and Teflon pans. So if you're using a nonstick pan, it is most likely made from Teflon, which contain PFAS chemicals, which are forever chemicals, which we know are not like the parabens and the sulfate, sodium lauryl sulfate, that are transient chemicals that our body can process and we can detox from. These chemicals are really everywhere. And so that's one other place that you can try to clean that up using cast iron or stainless steel. There's a lot of great alternatives that have come out in the last few years that are ceramic coated that are also safer. So those are just a few of my easy swaps. I mean, that kind of sounds overwhelming to some people. If you haven't done mm-hmm. any of those things, you might be like feeling frozen that I just told you need to replace it. Literally everything in your kitchen. But I always recommend people start with just one thing at a time. Fine. Mm-hmm.
It's an incremental thing. Process. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. I understand there are actually some studies on dishwasher, you know, the stuff that makes your dishes spotless, that suggests that, especially in restaurants where they really use high test industrial stuff to wash their dishes, that the residue actually may be harmful to the intestinal tract.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. They're really, I mean, harsh, strong chemicals that are used in our everyday life. And, you know, when I came to this issue, I think I was like everyone else. I just assumed that the products that we could buy on the shelf would be safe because that seems like a pretty reasonable thing to assume. But unfortunately, it's just not the case. And so until we have more health protective legislation, we as consumers have to be a little more skeptical in some cases. Vigilant.
Vigilant, yeah.
For sure, vigilant.
And so let's move to the bathroom because that's where a lot of personal care products are being used, cosmetics and, you know, shampoos and deodorant soaps and the like. Scents, for example.
Yes.
You know, deodorants. What are some of the hazards that lurk there?
Well, the number one thing I always recommend for anyone who's looking to make safer swaps in their personal care products is to eliminate the things that contain the word fragrance on them. So fragrance is considered a trade secret, as you probably know, which means that when you see that on the bottle or even on a candle or a cleaning product, really on anything, anytime you see the word fragrance, it's not one ingredient. It could be 30 or it could be 300, but it's a fragrance is created by a fragrance house, and that fragrance house then sells or contracts that fragrance to the manufacturer or to the company that's buying and selling this product to you. And not only do you as a consumer not get to know what's in it, but this is something I learned recently. The brand contracting with the fragrance house, they also don't know what's in their fragrance. Because of that trade secret. Isn't that fascinating?
It's a proprietary secret sauce, in other
exactly.
words.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Could be a witch's brew of hidden chemicals.
And phthalates are probably the most commonly hidden culprit in fragrance. They help it to absorb to your skin. They're, phthalates are also used as a plasticizer, as I mentioned earlier, in things like, you know, vinyl shower curtains. And but that's probably the one that I see sort of hidden the most in fragrance. But unfortunately, as consumers, because it just says fragrance, we have no idea what's in the fragrance. And so we don't really know if we react to it or what's safer or what's not, because there's no transparency. So that's something we're working on to close what we call the fragrance loophole, to require companies to disclose those ingredients. Mokra helped with that. So now companies have to disclose allergens. But that doesn't mean they have to disclose everything. So it's
MOCA is an acronym for the Modernization of Cosmetics Act of 2022,
yes, exactly,
in which you played a role of, as an advocate.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So MOCA helped to advance that, but it doesn't completely solve the problem. So fragrance, number one, if you can find products that don't say fragrance, that's a great step. Number two, I always say to focus on the things that you leave on your body the longest, or that you're applying to the largest surface area. As I mentioned, your skin is your largest organ. What we put on it absorbs in. So if you're buying a body lotion, a deodorant, right? I mean, we put that on every day. It's right in your armpits in that warm place where things are absorbing in. It's close to our lymph nodes. And so those products are the ones that I recommend you switch first. Thinking about like a shampoo, right? You rub that on and you wash it off. So if you're trying to be conscious of your budget or, you know, swapping one thing at a time, shampoo would not be the first thing I recommend just because your exposure level seems to be a bit lower. For women, foundation, that, you know, makeup foundation, mascara. You'll find things like coal tar in mascara, in conventional mascara. So, I mean, there are really so many products in the bathroom that we, I mean, the average woman, I believe in this number kind of varies depending on who, where you're reading it, but the average woman wears about or uses about 16 products a day. Mm-hmm. The average man, I think, is around 11 or 12. And so for women, you know, that's hundreds of chemicals that you're being exposed to. And so if you can make a few safer swaps for those things that are sitting on your skin a long time, or even just simply using less, will significantly reduce your exposure to all of those chemicals.
A lot has been made about toxic tampons, because that's a place certainly where there's a lot of absorption potential, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there, you know, we were talking about PFAS. PFAS are now showing up in all sorts of things, tampons and period underwear and our water and, you know, everything really, it seems like everything, which again, can be overwhelming. For women, I mean, having a period is already stressful and painful enough. And then you add the fact that we're telling you that there could be these harmful chemicals in them. There are some great resources of brands. Momovation is a great website where she will do these third-party tests of products and then rate them sort of, you know, better or worse, better, best kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Tampons, I think like Seventh Generation, those test pretty well. I don't think they had PFAS or any detect of the fluorine. You want to try to find organic, because that means then that cotton is not being raised with pesticides, which is another mm-hmm. area of exposure. I believe Honeypot is a brand that tests pretty well in, again, with its organic, no PFAS detection. There are a handful, and I always encourage people to reach out to brands and ask them, you know, ask them if they're testing for PFAS, if they're using PFAS in their products. Ask them if they have bisphenols in their products, and don't just ask, is it BPA? Make sure you just say bisphenols, because there's BPA, right, because there's BPS, something mm-hmm. called regrettable substitution, where you, you know, you might read on a can that it says BPA free.
No BPA, right.
Mm-hmm. But they just use BPS instead. So, you know, again, it puts a lot of the responsibility on consumers, which I think is a bit unfair, but until we can, you know, have some more regulation over consumer brands, we unfortunately, again, have to be a bit more vigilant. But a lot of these brands, like I mentioned, you know, Seventh Generation, Honeypot, these are available at Target, Walmart, places where most people can have access to them. Sometimes they do come with a slightly higher price. But, you know, again, if you're just, if you focus on using less, maybe you prioritize a safer tampon and spend a little bit more and cut out a few of your personal care products that are maybe extras that you don't necessarily need in order to achieve that reduction in exposure.
This time of year, people are getting concerned about sun exposure. There's a lot of sunscreen options. You know, you can get SPF 15, SPF 30, SPF 60. And then, you know, you can get, you know, I guess like putting a bag over your head. What are some of the potential downsides of the concoctions that people put on their skin?
Yeah, sunscreen, again, I mean, that's one area that I do recommend you really look at the ingredients in your sunscreen, because if you're slathering it all over your body multiple times a day, again, that's quite a bit of exposure. I used to be really hard and fast to only physical or zinc sunscreen, zinc oxide, titanium dioxide. And while I still believe that is the safest choice, I think it's really important that people wear sunscreen, period. I just had something cut off my leg last year. Yeah. I spend a lot of time outside. And so it, Zinc and titanium dioxide are harder to apply. They leave, not all of them, but most of them leave a somewhat of a white cast. And so
they give you that California lifeguard white nose effect, right?
Yeah, they do. And so I think that deters some people from really properly applying them. So I would encourage you, if you have a great physical sunscreen, use it. That's going to be the safest option, because we know that doesn't absorb into our blood and urine. They've tested that. So whatever those ingredients are, we know they're not making it into our system. Whereas there have been studies with oxybenzone, avobenzone, which are the chemical filters most commonly used in the US. And those have been tested again in high volume and found in our blood and urine. The FDA has asked sunscreen manufacturers for more comprehensive data about the safety of those ingredients. They've been on the market for a long time. My guess is they'll probably stay on the market based on the conversations I've had with people, chemists and toxicologists working in this space. But there are some ways that you can still use those chemical filters and eliminate other ingredients like fragrance. So one of the number one thing you can do is see if your sunscreen has fragrance in it, because if you just choose one that's no fragrance, like, you're already reducing some of that exposure. You can also find sunscreens that are a mixture of a physical and a chemical sunscreen. I just found a company recently, and I wish I had it in front of me. I think it's called Seaweed sunscreen. It's kind of a funny name. I found it at Whole Foods, and it doesn't have oxybenzone or avobenzone. It has a couple other chemical filters, and I there are so many chemical names. I can't tell you what those are right now. And then it also has zinc oxide. So then you're getting the benefit of the zinc oxide and the chemical filter together. There are some chemical filters in Europe that are approved that are known to be safer, but we don't allow them here in the US, unfortunately. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this space develops in the next few years. There's a lot of press around the oxybenzone and the oxinoxate and their potential impact on coral reefs. And so they've been banned from places like Hawaii.
I just went scuba diving, and what they asked for is for us to use non-chemical coral safe sunscreen, because you're out on the boat and the sun is very bright. And I used a zinc oxide sunscreen, and maybe I looked a little bit like Michael Jackson, but you know, it was extremely effective. I did not get one iota of a burn, and kept the coral safe. I wanted to ask you about endocrine disruptors, because that's kind of a buzzword these days, and that is one of the primary concerns. Can you explain why that is particularly concerning when it comes to environmental chemicals and cosmetics and household products?
Yeah, of course. Well, chime in on any point, because I don't have a medical degree, but I do know a few things about these chemicals. And it really used to be that we thought the dose makes the poison and that you had to have a high level of exposure. But there's evidence to show that these chemicals can have a really unique effect on our body. And that can be on our reproductive hormones, on our neurological health. I mean, they really can impact everything. The way I have a almost 13-year-old daughter, and the way I always explain this to young kids when I'm talking about it is, remember the game telephone? I like to keep it pretty simple. You know, you'd tell the person next to you something, and then they tell you the next person and the next person and the next person. And by the time we get to the end, you would hope that the message was the same thing that you started out by saying. And I like to equate endocrine disrupting chemicals as the kid in the line who decides to like say something different just to mess up the message. So at the end of the line, you didn't say, "Happy birthday, Dr. Hoffman." You said, you know, "Have a great trip to Turks and Caicos snorkeling" at the end of it. So it's completely different. I mean, that's a simplistic analogy, but these chemicals, they come in and they can mimic our hormones, like BPA can mimic estrogen, and it can impact the signaling and the messaging. And it, and again, I don't understand the deep science, but even at a DNA level, they're finding that some of these things can be impacted and also be passed on from generation to generation.
Yeah. Generational effects. Yeah.
Dr. Shanna Swan Do you know Dr. Shauna Swan? She wrote a book called Countdown about the decline in sperm count. And she's been studying phthalates for, I think, two decades. And there are finding some really, really interesting and compelling data around the impacts of phthalates specifically on testosterone and contributing to this decline in sperm count. And also even looking at what they call the anal genital distance and how genitalia reflect themselves as more masculine and feminine. And
the term has been used to gender benders that in effect, they may affect the brain. They may affect development during puberty and in utero development because mom consumes these things and it has an impact. And then there may also be an increase in certain reproductive cancers. Unfortunately, we're seeing an upward trend in cancers in people who hitherto rarely had cancer, you know, people under 50, you know, like the Duchess of Windsor, Kate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. So, yeah. It's, I mean, cancer is on a rise. I think I just was talking with Suzanne Price from Breast Cancer Prevention Partners, who their goal is to really educate women about this issue and help to prevent more breast cancers. And in preparation for that episode, I learned that, you know, something like 90% of breast cancers are not solely genetic, which means they're environmental exposures. There's either genetic or environmental. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And, nature versus nurture. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that we've had this crazy increase in chemicals in our systems since, you know, in the last 30, 40 years and the rise of cancer. It's like when you saw this, the New York Times article saying there's been an increase of, you know, the early onset of puberty at like age 9, and we don't know why.
And what's up with that? Yeah.
I was kind of like, we don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a daughter who's, you know, about that age.
Can we blame Taylor Swift for that? I'm not sure that it's, you know, they're watching too many videos.
So, no. You know, I mean, I think we
accelerate their
why.
Maturation.
I think we do know why. It's all these chemicals that our kids are exposed to. It's in the plastic toys they play with and put in their mouth at a young age. And in their food and pesticides and in the lotions and the plastic containers and the food preservatives. And it's just really everywhere.
Indeed. All right. Good point at which to pause because we're outlining some of the dangers. We're going to focus on some more of the perils to our health that toxic living poses. Our environment is loaded with toxic chemicals, and our homes and offices are certainly a place where we acquire some of those exposures. Our guest is Regan Nelson. She's the host of the Clean and Green Living podcast, available through usual podcast channels.
All platforms.
Apple Podcasts, you know, all platforms. So I highly recommend it. Her website is This or Something Better. Is that correct?
Actually, my website just links directly through the podcast. So Clean and Green Living podcast. Yep.
Good stuff. All right. When we return, we'll also talk about possible solutions, how consumers can get involved, because in addition to pointing out the dangers, Regan Nelson, our guest today, is an advocate for change on Capitol Hill. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.